Good afternoon, everyone. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. It's a beautiful day here. The sun is shining. The skies are blue. There's green trees. There are green trees everywhere behind our backyard. Spring is definitely sprung here. And besides today, it's a little bit cool. And it rained last night. The temperatures are picking up, and we're on our way to summer. And the summers here are very hot, sweltering hot, in fact. But I love it. I love it here in South Texas. I think of all the places I've lived in my life, here is the best. Well, I hope you had a good last 2 weeks. Since my last show, and not much to report. Otherwise, the usual things going on, different days. Work, been busy at work. I work at the Army's, U.S. Army's Headquarters Installation Management Command in Fort Sam Houston. I served 22 years in the Army. From 1982 to 2004, when I first came in, I was in the infantry for 4 years, 11 Charlie. That's the MOS, the job, which is also known as mortars, you know, indirect fire where we have like these cannons that we used to shoot. We go on live fires. Anyway, I did that 4 years and got to the rank of Sergeant E5. And then I thought it was too dangerous. I almost got killed one time, but I won't go into the details of that. So when the time came to re-enlist, I chose another MOS job and went to a school for administrative specialists where we typed. That's about typing, writing letters, memorandums. And so then I went to Korea for 2 years. Anyway, I won't tell you about all the rest of my assignments, but I served 22 years. I got to the rank of Sergeant First Class, E7, E9 is the highest, Sergeant Major. And I retired in June of 2004. And then I continued working for the Army, but as a contractor. I did that for a little over 6 years, and then in August of 2010, I became a civilian, Department of the Army civilian, and I've been working for them since, that is, the Headquarters Installation Management Command. Since then, on Fort Sam Houston, I work in the Operations Directorate doing tasking. And so I'm behind a computer all day and tasking all the different directorates, and they are also called directorates, but there are these to be called regions throughout the United States, and also we have a Pacific and a Europe region directorate now. And it's a very interesting job, and keeps me extremely busy, and I enjoy it. And so I've made a career of it. And I'm 63, I'll be 64 in August. And then I plan to retire in at least 5 years. God willing, 5 more years at least. And I'll be 68, 69. I'll be able to retire with a good little pension from what I'm doing now. And then my Army pension and then my retirement. And then I'll be collecting Social Security at age 66. And so hopefully I'll be able to retire in good standing, if you know what I mean. And I have my house here. It's a two-story house, modest, nothing fancy. I paid $142,000 for it in September of 2010. And it's got 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms. Very adequate. Living with me here are my wife, Jackie, who got married to in May of 2011, and my stepdaughter, Eva, and three children. Malik, who is 19, and he works at a pizza place here in San Antonio, making money. He just graduated from high school last year. And then a 16-year-old, India, very beautiful young woman who looks like Rihanna, and an 8-year-old, Malia, who is an absolute firecracker. She is very special, so strong, fast. She beats me in running when we've run before, an 8-year-old. And I'm a pretty good runner. I've never been really too fast. And I've taken running back up, and it is so good to be back into it because, of course, when I was in the Army, I used to run all the time until 2000. So from 1982 to 2000, I ran, and I was a good, really good runner. In fact, at the peak of my health, if you will, was when I was stationed at the language school at the Presidio Monterey in California. You know, I studied Turkish for 1 year, and I was the captain of one of the Army companies, run teams, golf company. And we used to compete every month in the Commander's Cup there on the Presidio. And so we would train 6 days a week, and then I would compete in these 10Ks, 5Ks, 5-mile races. I used to enjoy doing that a lot. And so we would compete against all the other Army companies and the Marines. The Marines were there. They had a Marine company, and then also the SEALs sometimes used to participate, the Navy SEALs. And during the time I was there, we won the Commander's Cup, this huge, huge trophy, like about five, almost 6 feet tall. And the best time we had was 11 minutes and 39 seconds, 2 miles. And I would run on the outside. We had two rows of five guys. I think we had a woman one time. She was really good running. And then we had a guide on bearer out in front, so 12 altogether. Anyway, I'm getting back into running, and it feels good yesterday and today. And I've been doing Zumba and also fast walking with some music sometimes, other times no music. But I've been getting myself into shape because I've got a little bit of a belly, you know what I mean? I guess it wasn't that way before I got married, but anyway, I want to lose some weight and get back to where I was before. I never really was heavy. When I was in the Army at one time, actually, I weighed about 119 pounds, but my ideal weight, I think, was around 135, 140, so I worked my way up to, right now, I'm about 170. And I'm going to try to get down into the 150s again. I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995 when I was in the Army. I was living, I had just finished a language school, and I'd been married to my ex-wife since March of 1992. And then I graduated from the language school in June of 93. And then we didn't go to Turkey. We were supposed to go to Turkey after I graduated. And we found out I didn't have orders. I didn't have billeting there. So I called my branch, and I got them to agree to send me back to Monterey so I could stay there. And they said that I would come back on orders to go to Turkey probably the next year. Turned out to be just a few months. In the meantime, my ex-wife got pregnant. And so I went to Turkey. She got pregnant in September of 1993. And then I came on orders, and we decided that I would go on the company. She would stay there in Monterey. So I went to Turkey. And in May of 1994, Bryce was born a little prematurely. It was found that he had underdeveloped kidneys. So I came home right away, of course. I got a HOP, what they call a military charger, a HOP. from Turkey all the way back to Travis Air Force Base there in California. And found out after he was born in Monterey, they had taken him by ambulance up to the city of San Francisco to the Children's Hospital, Stanford University, the Children's Hospital there. And so they determined that his kidneys weren't functioning properly, and they did what they call a full ostomy. They opened the skin behind the kidneys to allow the urine to drain out. And when I saw him, then it was what a beautiful sight that was to see my son for the first time. They later on told me that he would need transplantation and/or dialysis, or dialysis and/or transplantation, and asked me if I'd be willing to be a donor. And so I was tested for compatibility, had the right blood type, and I was compatible. So in March 1995, we had the operation at Stanford University where they took out my right kidney and put it in the right. He was 10 months old at the time, weighed 18 pounds, put it right in the middle of his abdomen, in between the hips, and he had that kidney for 19 years, grew up, went through school, high school, played basketball. And then in July of 2014, he had another transplant. His best friend's mom gave him one of her kidneys, and what a lifesaver that was, because he had to go back on dialysis. And it was stressful time for him. And he's coming out with a book. He's been writing a book called The Dialysis Diaries. Don't anybody check that title, please, if you're out there. So he's hoping for that book to be very popular. Look for it. Hopefully, God willing, you know, he can become famous through it. Nothing wrong with fame, right? As long as it's used in a right way. If you know what I mean. Anyway, so Bryson's doing okay now. It's been over, going on 4 years since that last transplant. He's working at a juice bar in Burbank, California. He will be 24 in May. And I just spoke with him today. He's doing all right. And he's into running himself. He's in good shape. So I ran today about a mile or so. I ran for 15 minutes nonstop, just a slow jog. I'm going to try to keep this up. The body is a little bit sore in places, but I ran yesterday, and so my goal is to get to where I could maybe run 2 or 3 miles, but I think I'm going to keep the training up and run a mile each time at least. And it feels so good, my friend. You ought to try it yourself if you don't already do it. You sleep a lot better. The breathing is better. You know, the circulation is good for the heart, good for the lungs. So hopefully I can keep this up, because I've got a tendency to go back and forth doing things. Although I am very disciplined. You know, the Army taught me that. So here I am in my patio looking out at the trees in our backyard. We've got a plum tree and a peach tree. I was talking with Doug, CBS Radio. And what a good man he is. What a nice opportunity to be able to talk on a show, to broadcast over internet radio, and reach out to many people around the world. Maybe some people that can't even speak English. But I know it's a very popular medium. People from all over the world listening to my show. What an amazing thing that is. And to be able to talk for a whole hour, me, it's especially important to be able to communicate this way. I know I did mention in some of my shows in the past that I'm a public speaker. I've Toastmaster, although right now I haven't been participating, but I'm intending to get back into it. I'm also a singer. I mentioned that before. I have a repertoire of over 100 songs. And I've been going to the Wounded Warriors on Fort Sam Houston for over 4 years now. The last time I went was back in December. And so I've got to get back into doing that. And also mentioned before that I started these new duties working on a tasking team. So I've been in training and it's very, very busy with emails coming in all the time. Do this, do that. And it's pretty easy, but very labor intensive, if you know what I mean. A lot of attention to detail kind of things, which I'm good at. Anyway, I'm walking around my backyard here. There's dogs barking all over the place. So, yeah, I was telling Doug about our trees. We've got a peach tree and a plum tree. The plum tree only gives us plums every so often. We had, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 last year. This year I don't see any. All the leaves have sprouted. But the peach tree has, I would say, approximately 20 or more peaches on it. And they're getting pretty large, but not quite ripe yet. Just telling you a little bit about myself, my friends out there in Radio Land. And I'd like to just give a shout-out to a few people. First of all, to BBS Radio, many thanks to them for the great things they do. You know, helping to make the world a better place with shows like this and other shows. And I promise people that I'm going to be listening to BBS Radio more, to other shows, because the people I've heard before in the past are all brilliant, very, very smart people with a lot of good things to say to help make the world a better place. Beautiful things, esoteric principles. That's what we need more of, right? But it's really a difficult thing to talk about. But consider this. There is so much negativity in the world. That's just the nature of the world. You know, so much violence. Yet, why are we so frightened to talk about things like near-death experiences or extraterrestrial phenomena? I got to admit, I have to summon up my courage to talk about these kinds of things. And most of what I talk about, I've learned from other people, believe it or not. The books I've read throughout the years, saw very little of it, my own conjecture, my own thinking, if you will. So anyway, BBS Radio, what a beautiful thing they're doing for mankind, humanity, if you will. Let me take a drink of water. And so Doug and Don, you know, they're great. Great young men. May God bless them. Also, a shout out to Bryce, my son, who I mentioned I talked with earlier today. I don't know if he's listening, but. And then Stasia at work, her brother just died, I think. I'm not sure, but I overheard her before she left to go on emergency leave, and it sounded like he had died. No one was able to confirm that. Sometimes they don't want you to know about things that are at work. You know, it's kind of personal to them. But if she's out there, Stasia, may God bless you and give you strength to see you through these hard times, these difficult times. I have a sister, and I can imagine, you know, what that day, if I don't die before she does, which is reality, right? Anyway, I love my sister. She lives in Seattle. Her name's Eleanor. She's 2 years older than I am. We talk all the time on the phone. And also, let's see, Mr. Abney, Ms. Perkins, there at where I work. And all you good people out there listening to my show, The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. That's my book, the book I wrote. Yes, it took me a few years to write it. 8 years to write it, and then I sat on it for 8 years because I didn't think the time was right. So why did I call it that? Well, my rationale is this, my friend. We have a brain for our physical body. We have spirits, right? Does anybody out there deny that the spirit exists? How many people do? I think because we know deep down in our core being that it really is true. It does exist. And you know what it looks like? It looks like the physical body. The characteristics are the same from what I've read about, all my research. Very, very similar. It's like another dimension, you know, another realm when the spirit pops out of the body. You know, we are spirits in the material world, our spirits in the material world. That song by the Police. Well, that's what we are. But, you know, no need to be frightened about it. It's reality. You know, with all the killing and death going on in this world, we have to be prepared. We have to plan ahead, you know. There is a place where we go. There is an afterlife, right? Some people might not believe, but, well, all I can say is I hope that they change their minds before they pass away, you know, because it's going to happen to everybody. No one is invincible. No one's going to live forever. I think we can all agree upon that, you know. Believers and non-believers alike, there will come a day when our physical body will shut down and cease to exist because, you know, what's the most a person can live? 100-some years, you know, and then that's it. So what's going to happen? Some people think, well, that's just it, you know. You'll cease to exist. Everything will be black. Well, that is an attitude, I think, that is changing. It's evolving into something more intelligent, if you will. Not to say that my fellow souls out there are unintelligent. They're just young souls. Some people, I would think, in my opinion, that a lot of the people that are atheists and don't believe in an afterlife quite possibly could be the younger souls, you know, who in the scheme of things, the overall scheme of things in the great plan of the universe, you know, from the Big Bang, which happened billions of years ago. And since the first solar system and the expansion of the universe, and it's continuing to expand as we speak, accelerating, expanding, you know, in accordance with Einstein's theory of general relativity and Edwin Hubble's discovery that the universe is actually accelerating, then here we are in our Milky Way galaxy in the spiral arm. And so we're really kind of late bloomers, you know. It's like you have a family, got a brother, a sister, or maybe, you know, more brothers, more sisters, and they're a lot older. They were born before you were, you know, so maybe you're 20 years old and they're 30. Well, that kind of thing. There are other places in the universe that were born, if you will, before our planet was. Other planets, right? Other suns that were born, came into existence before our sun was even born and came into existence, because there was a time, right? Scientists will say that our sun, the nuclear fires of our sun first came into existence, fired up, if you will, approximately 4 billion years ago. That's a little bit more than what I think. I believe that they exaggerate and their details, their facts are not correct. I would say, in my opinion, from my research, this world of ours, planet Earth, is approximately 2 million years old. And the sun, maybe 3 million years ago. That's still a lot of time, don't you agree? I mean, you might believe that the scientists are right, that the 4 billion years or the billion years is more accurate, but not in my opinion. And I've got some research, done some research. I've read some good, credible sources that substantiate what I believe in. And I know that typically scientists tend to exaggerate, and their methods to determine what the numbers that they come up with aren't really valid, in my opinion. But it doesn't matter. 4 billion, 3 million, that's not much of a difference, is it, really? They give us those large numbers, and, you know, it's kind of beyond our thinking, like over our head. So what, you know? But anyway, some time is just going by. Tick-tock. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Fly like an eagle. Steve Miller. And I wanted to, I wrote some things down here. And you know me, I like to change the subject, branch off into different things. There's so much to talk about. Really, I could talk for hours on everything that I know. I just love to talk. Most people do. And I know I was kind of talking about atheists, believers, and non-believers. I might have to get some food here, because I'm all of a sudden getting hungry. So let me, I'm going to take my phone, get some. Now we got a couple of young girls over here visiting. I'll get a can of soup here from the cupboard. Get a spoon. I eat cold soup. No big deal. When I was in the Army, we would eat cold food sometimes when we went out to the field. And it does, serves a purpose. And I'm a vegan, too. I was talking with my son today. He's asking me about being a vegan. And put a spoon in my mouth. I became a vegan because, and that was in 1999. I think that was the path I was on. I was always living a kind of healthy life, if you will. You know, I was into running and exercising, being in the Army. When I got my, I donated one of my kidneys, and I was a good, really good runner at that time. And then I kind of didn't feel the need to push myself afterwards, you know. But one thing, my side here where the kidney was taken out, it was like a board. It was really, the nerves had all been cut, you know, when they sliced me in the side here from one side to the other and took the kidney out, it cut the nerves. And so anybody with knowledge on that knows that when the nerves are cut, it takes a while for them to repair themselves and they get the feeling back in that area. And so it was very stiff, you know, like a board, as I mentioned. But he told me to walk. And so I started walking. I walked here, walked there, everywhere, walked miles and miles and miles. And I got back in shape, but I lost my endurance that I had achieved from all the running, serious running I'd been involved with. And so I was a good runner. I don't know if I can get back into it. I'm hoping I can. So I'm eating the soup here. I went out for lunch today. My wife went to Zumba. And I went, what did I do? I did some singing. I met her at a restaurant, and Mexican restaurant right next to the gym, Gold's Gym. With my stepdaughter, we had lunch together. So anyway, Bryce was asking me about being a vegan. I know he tried it for a little while. I've been pretty dedicated since 1999. And it's a challenge, especially when I was in the my last duty assignment in the Army in Caracas, Venezuela. I was there 2.5 years. And they didn't have much vegetarian food there, so I had to improvise and create my own stuff. I would cook up pots of rice and add fruit and vegetables. And I had pizza with no cheese. I had spaghetti with just marinara sauce. Lots of beans, you know, for protein. And I'll tell you something. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging anyone. My wife here and my stepdaughter, all the one that lives in my house with me, they eat everything. But let me tell you something that I believe in. If you want to develop yourself spiritually, it's a lot easier to do so when you're not eating animal protein, you know. I was 44 years old when I became a vegan. Before that, I had everything, you know. I used to eat 2 steaks a week. So that was even after the transplant. And I've been kind of on a path of spirituality. Before then, my mother pushed me in that direction. She was a good woman, very spiritual. She had some experiences in her life, you know, that really pushed her towards the study of mysticism and spirituality and the life of Jesus. And when you don't have to, for one thing, being a vegan, a vegetarian, the food that you eat is a lot easier to digest than, say, a steak or chicken, you know, pork, especially beef, you know, and if it's not, well, depending on how you cook it. My wife, she likes her steaks medium rare. And I'll tell you truthfully, I didn't always treat myself well in the past. There was a time when I was into substance abuse. Let's leave it at that, you know. I used to drink a lot. My parents were alcoholics. Can you understand that? It's the same with a lot of people, and they smoke too. That's what I call a generational curse, my friends, because they were World War II babies, my parents. You know, they were born right after World War I. What a hard time to have been living in this world, right? Born into existence right after a major war around the world. And then both of them being involved in World War II. Mom went through the bombing of London. Dad was at Normandy and Dunkirk with the British Army. So, anyway, spirituality can be better achieved, or learning spirituality can be better achieved through a diet which is not, which is a vegetable protein diet. That's what I say. That's what I've noticed. But you can do your own thing. You have free will, right? God gave you, the Creator gave you free will. And when I say God, as I've talked about before in my other shows, I mean either the Supreme Creator, the initiator of the Big Bang. The Supreme Creator is awesome, huge, an incredibly huge spirit. Extremely omniscient and omnipotent. for lack of a way of describing him or her, because God is both male and female, remember? But it was part of the plan of the Supreme Creator to break off a little piece of him or herself and put it into a being so he, she can experience what that being is experiencing. And so, my friends, what we are, in essence, is co-creator God apprentices. We will one day be a co-creator God. And that was the plan. That is the plan. All this universe that we see out there, it's a manufactured reality. It is matter, antimatter, dark energy, dark matter. And the suns light up the dark energy and the dark matter. Space is dark energy, dark matter. It's a fabric. It's a reality, but it's manufactured. It's not the real thing, if you will. It's like for the Polaroid picture, you have a negative, and then you have the positive, the real picture, the colorful picture. The negative picture is like the material universe. The spiritual universe, which is like a parallel universe, is the colorful picture. All this matter here on Earth, physical matter, came from spiritual matter. Light is an actual substance, my friends. I don't know if you knew that. It can be measured. The sunlight from the sun, which I'm looking at right now, takes 8 minutes to get to Earth. Did you know that it can actually be measured in pounds, that every second, 4 pounds of sunlight hit this Earth? There's something about light that perhaps we're not really aware of. We only just touched the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, when it comes to understanding the full nature of light. As spiritual beings, we existed prior to this existence here on Earth, prior to being born. And we came from a world of light. We came from the sun. Because the sun is a world on fire, but it's a world that was created by, I'll tell you, from the first sun, the great central sun of the universe, the Supreme Creator created by setting everything in motion by the power of his or her will, with words, as it says in the Bible, words can create. And our sun was created that way too. And it's an amazing process, really. The process of creation, whether it's a sun or planets or children, you know. We are spirit children. We are the children of our co-creator, mother and father gods here in the solar system. The sun is the matrix of the solar system. And our spirits, our souls, which are the brain of the spirit, I'm saying that before, I don't think I finished saying what my book was about, I mean the title of my book. Anyway, the soul is the brain of the spirit. And so we are created by our spirit mother and father. We were created before we were born. We existed. And you remember being born? No, I don't remember either. We're not supposed to remember our pre-existence because that's part of the plan. You know, living here, we're supposed to be developing ourselves spiritually. It's a school. We live in the university of the universe, my friends. This planet here is a Category 1 planet. And throughout the universe, there are different categories of planet depending on the level of spirituality of the inhabitants of that planet. There's many, I think I mentioned in my last radio show, there are trillions and trillions and trillions of extraterrestrial beings out there. They just haven't made contact with us because we're in a very aggressive and warlike species. Anybody out there want to deny that? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. Of course we are. Think of all the wars in the past. Excuse me while I eat. I gotta eat. And so they're out there. They know that what we're doing. Look at now. We bombed Syria, right, with Tomahawk missile, taking out some of their bases and some of their maybe chemical weapon storage areas. I wonder how many people were killed. Do you think? Men, women, children might have been killed as a result of that. I can guarantee you at least one person was killed. Do we care about that? That's the world we live in, my friends. We're on the lower end of the evolutionary scale. We are a mixture of souls, young souls and old souls. We don't want to destroy ourselves, do we? We have that potential. But anyway, you know, I try to keep my shows positive, talk about positive things and not negative things. By the way, I've got some videos on YouTube. If you ever want to check them out, Blake Rubie, BlakeRubie. There's some things that need to happen, my friends, in order for us to continue evolving as people and as for this world to evolve. Also, one of those things is for women to get the recognition they deserve. You know, they've been discriminated against for a long time. And they are the mothers of our children. And they are masters of growth. How about you, my friend? Are you a master of growth? What can you tell me about growth? Do you know about growth? Can you tell me something about growth? I know there's a lot of beautiful people in California, especially in Hollywood, who are just incredible people. I'd love to meet some of them. You know, there's so many wonderful, really amazing people out there. And women, like I said, discriminated against, you know, throughout the years, throughout the centuries, and they got their voting rights, and then there was women's lib, and now, you know, they're still fighting for equality. But how can a man imagine this, having a child grow inside them? Wouldn't you say that would qualify you to be able to speak about growth? Women are the masters of growth. We need to give them the respect they deserve. We need that shift from a paternal into a maternal society, my friends. And women, the respect of women, the adoration of women as co-creators with God, you know, having a baby grow inside their body, their status needs to be changed from ordinary to very special, if you will. And the world will be a better place as a result of it. I can tell you that. And I hope, you know, as much as I did like Hillary, I still like Hillary Clinton. I thought that even though with her faults and all the criticisms of her, that it would have been a good thing if she had become president. I like President Trump, but I think Hillary would have made a good president, you know. And they would have been after her, too, about the Benghazi and the emails, but still, I think she would have made a great president. She's got a beautiful smile, you know, a lot of experience as a senator, as the Secretary of State. I'm trying to find this page in my book. There it is. I just got it. So anyway, my friends, let's help make this world a better place. There's all different kinds of things we can do. That's one. Raise women's status to co-creator gods with God. Co-creators with God, I should say. And also, when you look up at the stars at night, what an amazing thing that is, isn't it? Just think about this. They're not really stars. They're suns. They're suns. Just like our sun. They're solar systems, just like our solar system. Most solar systems have a sun and 9 planets that revolve around the sun. So somehow we get in the habit of thinking, oh, stars. They're so pretty. Stars, stars. Well, they're suns. They're not stars. No such thing as stars. Sorry to burst your bubble. We need to change. There's a lot of things we need to change in order to evolve and make the world a better place. That's one of them. That's from Blake Ruby. Please, when you look at stars, don't think of stars. Think of reality. We're stuck in a Copernican gap, my friend. I've told you this before. The people, the mindset of the people now is similar to the mindset of the people back when Copernicus lived. And back then, you know, they thought that the universe revolved around the Earth. Imagine that. People just like you and me, they were so convinced that they were right. For us, we think we're alone. Some people think we're alone in the universe. No, we're not. There are, as I mentioned, trillions and trillions of extraterrestrial beings out there. God, the supreme creator of the universe, is the maker of bodies and planets and suns. And you know the different varieties, right? I've told you this before, all the insects. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of different types of bodies, each with their own different little characteristics, you know, some that can fly, eyes that work perfectly, different sizes and shapes and colors. The creator of the universe is a body maker supreme and can create anything. Anything. Did you hear me? I said anything, and also anywhere. Anything, anywhere. Don't limit the creator's potential to do something. Don't insult the creator's intelligence, my friend. God is magical. And so, yes, you will be a co-creator God also one day. We all will be. The universe is an incredibly large place. There's space enough for everybody to have their own solar system and planets and have your own spirit children. And even if that was science fiction and just a fantasy, isn't that kind of neat? Isn't that a neat fantasy, science fiction kind of thought? Well, maybe I might be losing some of you, but everything that I talk about, you know, is very spiritual in nature, and that is, you know, even if it wasn't true, my friend, still, isn't that a thought? Hey, one day, okay, so you're going to die, and then you're going to go to a place, a world of light, and then you're going to be all of a sudden familiar with the surroundings, and then you're going to see deceased relatives, say, and there'll be all these people from different cultures, from different eras throughout the history of the world there, and all of them praising the Creator because all this came into existence with nothing, something into nothing, and you're going to be a part of that, and there's going to be love, and there's going to be joy. And there's not going to be bodily functions to worry about. You won't have to sleep. And everyone's happy, and they're and they're getting together and they're having all these celebrations and they're going through all these functions where people talk and give lectures and auditoriums full of people, and Jesus, who died on the cross, will be there, and Muhammad will be there, and Buddha, and but some of these beings, they reincarnate. You know, reincarnation is a reality, and I talk about it in my book, so if you want to learn more about it, you can get it for free if you have Kindle Unlimited, you know, in the Kindle bookstore. And, you know, you are the truth, the light, and the way, my friends. You can show people how to get to the Father also. And that's not blasphemy. I can say it about myself, and I've done that before. But you are also the truth, the light, and the way. You are a spirit and a soul in addition to your body. And you need to fulfill your potential as a co-creator God apprentice. Hey, I'm running out of time, but I'd just like to add further to what I said. Get out of that Copernican mindset, my friend. The universe is teeming with life. Einstein, it doesn't take an Einstein or a Tesla to realize that. They knew it. They knew it. Einstein knew it. And so, you can do it. Come on. And hey, a shout out also to, I've got some extraterrestrial friends who are parked behind the moon in a spaceship called the Goodwill. They're the Verdants. And they might be listening to my radio show right now. I hope so. Might be in a little room, you know, just being piped into the particular room. Maybe it's like a little auditorium. They're all sitting there and looking at each other and hearing my voice and hearing me talk about them. Yeah, they're up there. They're stereotypical, gray, tan-bodied aliens, extraterrestrials. Maybe they don't like the word alien. They're extremely, extremely intelligent. You know, their spaceship can travel through space at light speed, and they can go interdimensional, and they can travel around the universe in a very quick fashion, you know. And they are the dominant species of the universe. They have many, many worlds that they've colonized. And that's just one out of thousands, my friends, that are out there. But they're the dominant species. And, of course, and maybe reiterate what I said, they're extremely, extremely, extremely intelligent. But they're also very loving. They love each other, you know. That's one thing I wish we could do as a species, love each other, because it seems like we hate each other more than we love each other. Why is that? We should be loving each other. Hey, I mean, we've got brains, hearts that beat independently of our wills, and our lungs purify the blood. We are amazing beings, right? The Bible says that we are, how does it say, incredibly made. We are amazing creation, my friend. So anyway, by the way, I was talking about being a vegan, you know, vegetarian. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging anybody, you know. You can do what you want to do. You have free will. I will not judge you. I'm just saying that I think you will enhance your spirituality if you ingest food, and it's easier to digest, then you'll be thinking more about other things besides, you know, suffice it to say, it's a better way to develop yourself spiritually. Enough about that. Okay, so I'm running out of time here. By the way, I live here in San Antonio, right? So I'm a Spurs fan, and I like to read about him more than I watch him on television, because one thing, television is like a time machine, you know? And these games that you watch, they're not actually live, if you know what I mean. And I've kind of gotten away from sports in the past. I know that a lot of people are like that too, but I do love those guys that play on the Spurs team, you know. And I know they play Golden State here in California. I just thought I'd just throw that in, my friends, here on my radio show. And I need to tell you the parable of the two sons. Let's see, how much time do I have? Okay. I'll tell you about the parable of the two sons. got to do with, like, we had a son on two different teams, and they both go to the finals. And how would you care who won? They're both your sons. Think about that, my friends. Quick prayer. Dear God, our God, creator of our, I say, God, I mean, either Father God or Mother God or both. God can mean one or the other or both. Thank you for everything. You are amazing. I'm looking at you now. You're on the sun. You're in our solar system, the matrix. Thank you for all this beauty. Please change the hearts of the people that need their hearts changed. Help us to evolve. Help our world to evolve. Help us not to kill each other. Please help us to love each other. Thank you so much for my life and for the lives of other people. We give you praise and honor, worship. We love you. Thank you for loving us. My friends, I'll talk with you on my next show in 2 weeks. Until then, take good care, and may God bless you and help you in any way you need it. This is Blake saying goodbye.